Hello, and welcome to the Moving Past Your Radio Show. This show is about identifying, confronting, and embracing the obstacles that block and delay us in walking in our divine purpose. Each week, we will explore the various obstacles we face as believers in fully embracing God's will for us. I'm your host, Juanita Gaynor. And today's show, we're discussing the purpose in waiting. Now, there are two particular scriptures that come to mind when I discuss and I think about waiting on what God has for us. The first one is Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 31st verse. And this is the King James version of this particular scripture. And the scripture is, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. And the second one is Psalms, the 27th chapter and the 14th verse, and this is the Amplified Bible version, and it says, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Let's be honest, you know, no one likes to wait for what they want. I know I don't. We long for that instant gratification, but what you have to understand that there's a purpose in waiting. Honestly, patience has never been my thing. You know, until the past few years, you know, I've always seen a waiting season as just a waste of time. You know, there's been times when when God has told me that, nope, I need you to wait. But then I would turn around and say to God, well, why can't you just give it to me now? Why do I have to wait? Well, honestly, in the last 18 months, God has shown me that the waiting season is a critical and crucial part of the journey to reach God's destination for us. Our waiting season is a part of God's process to prepare us for His great plans. We can't be who God wants us to be without the waiting process. It's through our waiting that we learn to stand strong in God and grow in our faith in Him alone. You know, it is so tempting to take things into our own hands when we feel that God is not moving fast enough. And I am particularly guilty of that. I will go ahead and make a decision outside of God because I feel that He didn't address the situation quick enough and I need it to happen now. And normally what happens 100% of the time, it creates additional chaos. And then we have to dial back and I have to start over, you know. But when we're waiting on Him, we must stay faithful to what God has asked us to do. You know, when we stay faithful in the things God has asked us to do, He will stay faithful to fulfill His promise to us. And when I say stay faithful in the things God asks us to do, that means in waiting, that means being loving, that means being patient. 'Cause when He can see that He can trust you in those small things at trying times, He definitely expands and gives you more outside of that. You know, so as I was just preparing and really reflecting and studying on waiting, you know, I came to realize that everybody God has used in the Bible had a waiting season. Everyone, you know, before God's promise was given to them. You know, I have two great examples. One, Joseph. You know, God gave Joseph, you know, the dream that he would be the leader of Egypt. But that didn't happen right away. You know, Joseph had to go through a lot of suffering and a lot of pain and waiting before God's promise came to pass. And then another, when you think about David, You know, David is another one that went through a lot of suffering during his season, his waiting season. You know, God promised him that he would be the king over Israel, but it didn't happen overnight. You know, he spent years running from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. And did David have many opportunities to exact revenge and to take Saul out? Yes, he did. However, he chose to be faithful to God and to stand still and know that God had promised him this. So therefore, he wasn't going to usurp that. He wasn't going to mess that up so that God can take it away from him. You know, as I said in previous shows, we all have a specific purpose that God has put in us. And so therefore, each purpose has a waiting season, a waiting period, a trying period, a purification period, a firing period, however you want to define it, it's still waiting. And you have to be willing to do that. Now, let's be honest, you know, David and Joseph could have just taken things into their own hands. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery, and, you know, when he was put into jail, he could have just said, I'm going to be king. I'm going to wipe all these people out so that I can be king. He could have done that. And yes, he could have been king, but he wouldn't have been successful and had the blessing of God in doing that. And the same with David. He could have took Saul out and ascended to the throne, but it would not have come with the blessing and the, you know, stamp of approval from God. You know, so they chose to stay faithful and to trust God, you know, and through their waiting season, they learned to be obedient and to hold on to the promise of God. You know, the waiting season can seem like it's a waste of time. And I know because there was a point like 18 months ago that I really felt that this is a waste of time. Like, why do I got to do this? You know, but it's a crucial moment in our lives and our walk and in going through our design purpose to be what God has us to be. You know, what we do in our waiting season will determine the outcome of our lives overall. You know, we have to we have the choice to take the steps towards God's promises for us or away from his promises. You know, God has promises for your life he wants to fulfill. You know, will you press and stay faithful to God? You know, will you be like David and Joseph and trust in God in your waiting season? Or will you allow God's mighty hand to work in your life? You know, God's plan for your life is beyond anything you can see or imagine. And that is clearly spoke about and defined in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and the 9th verse. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation version. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, you know, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who loved him. So basically, he is telling us, like, you can't even imagine what I have in store for you, but you have to wait. You know, I couldn't even imagine what he had in store for me during my waiting season, which I thought was a waste of time and a waste of energy. And you could just give it to me now and then I can go ahead and execute it. But had I not waited, I would have tried to do it the way I wanted to do it and not the way God wanted to do it. And would I have been ready had he given it to me when I was demanding that he give it to me? Absolutely not. You know, one of the major problems that I had with waiting and a lot of people have with waiting is we don't have all the details. You know, from our perspective, we have everything figured out and we want God to move within our time frame. You know, but God really, I'm not even going to say really, God does not do anything according to our time frame. And because of this, we can get so easily discouraged. And if we aren't careful, you know, we'll think he's uncaring or he's mad at us. And I went through that about a week ago. It's been a little bit crazy at the corporate sponsor. Things have gone on. A lot of changes are happening. You know, I'm, you know, diligently doing what he's asked me to do, preparing for other things and, you know, that he has me working on. And I had a heart to heart conversation with him and said, Lord, you have to show me something, you know, because I am waning. I don't think I can hold out much longer. Like, I know you have something greater and something so much bigger, but I can't see it right now. And I need something, a glimpse of hope or anything that can keep me pushing to the next mark. Now, God knows his child. And the reason why I do struggle in those aspects is I am still growing in my walk. As a child who never had any type of stability, you know, it was always doom and gloom. And God knows, you know, when I'm at that point where I could potentially really throw in the towel. Earlier in my walk, I would just throw in the towel, do what I want to do, and then keep backtracking and make, you know, repeating these lessons and these, you know, the test and not understanding why I'm not moving forward. And now I've just become very vocal and saying, you know what, Lord, I'm at a breaking point. Daddy, I need you. I need something. I need to show me something, a sign or something, because I'm at a point where I no longer can keep it up. And it's in that moment of weakness and communicating in relation that he's like, okay, she's getting it. I'm going to just give that glimpse. And that's what he did for me this past weekend. Actually, he gave me that glimpse, and it was just like a breather. Like, okay, I get it. I see it. I'm rejuvenated. I can move on, you know, but it was because I had been steadfast and moving, you know, staying still, but I had that one weakness. And the thing was, is that because I have developed relationship and communication with him, I didn't just hold it in, because he knew. I was very vocal about it, and in having that conversation and doing the things and the steps that he told me to do to get to that point. So in that reward and that showing me that glimpse, it rejuvenated me to be like, okay, he still got me, you know. So when we do that, yes, you can think he's uncaring. You can think he's not paying attention, but he is, you know, but we just have to be vocal and open. And, you know, just you talk with him like you would talk to your mother or your father. You know, you have to have that conversation and tell them how you feel. You know, so when you think about God has so many, he has great reasons for making us wait. You know, waiting is a part of life, and, you know, it's one of God's tools for developing us for his purpose. You know, the Bible is full of stories, of rich stories, you know, of people having to wait on God. You think about Noah, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, Paul, even his own son, you know, and in countless others. So what does waiting do? What are the things that waiting allows you to do? Well, first, waiting reveals our true motives. And you may say, what? What do you mean? When waiting has a way of bringing out the best and worst in people. You know, for someone who does not have great motives, or they're not pure in their intent, they're not going to wait long, because they're not interested and the commitment it takes to see something through. They're too interested in short-term gains or success. Meaning, they got to have it now. It's got to be money, money, money. I need to see it now. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Me, me, me. My, my, my. I. And Most of us have good intentions, but a lot of what we want to accomplish is an attempt to make a name for ourselves or for our egos. It hurts to say this, but it's often true. You know, and you may say, well, no, that's not that's not what I'm trying to do, or things like that. When you're asking God for something and he's saying, wait, and you're now mad because I want to do this now, and why do I have to wait? I need you to sit back and evaluate the thought process. You got to ask yourself, why do I want this so bad? Is it to have my name in lights? Is it to be the next best thing? Or is it to serve him? Is it to be a light for him? Is it to impart wisdom on others? Is it to be a light for others? Is it to be uplifting to others? If it is not about being in line with what God is about, then the motives are not pure. And there's a reason he has you waiting. Because it's not a part sometimes of the initial process or where he has you going. You know, that's not where it lies in the scheme of things. And then sometimes, you know, when you think about, you know, hey, yeah, I just want my name in the lights. I really don't want to do this on a long-term basis. You're going to wait it out. Because then you may initially start out saying that that's what you want. But in the waiting season, in the trying season, you may see that what you thought you wanted one thing, God had something else for that same purpose. So it's always there to flesh out your true motives. You know, the second thing about waiting and the purpose of waiting is that waiting will build patience in your lives. And I know for me, that has been a challenge because patience has been a challenge for the majority of my life. I am a part, and I'm not a part of the microwave society. You know, I know that there's certain things you have to wait on. I just didn't want to do it. I wanted to do it when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. And I didn't care if there was a process with it. I wanted it now. You know, patience and waiting for small things leads to having patience in the bigger things. And really, if you can't wait for God to do the small things, we certainly can't wait for something bigger. Our problem is our perspective is usually wrong. Not even usually. Most of the times it is wrong. 9 times out of 10 is wrong. You know, we tend to think the bigger things in life are finances and possessions. While God feels that influencing and changing people are more important. Again, do you line up with what God wants? Are you a man or woman after his own heart? Because once that happens, you line up with what he wants and you want to influence and change people in their daily walk. And with that will come other things that he deems appropriate. So if you're not in line with that, it won't work because you're just chasing the money, and the money can run out and the possessions can run out. You can lose the possessions, you know. However, when you build your character right, when you build it the way God wants you to build it, your influence and the ability to change people is life changing, everlasting, because they're not going to remember that you had $1 million, but they're going to remember that you had the love of Christ at a time in their lives when they needed somebody to pray for them and everyone else turned their backs on them, but you was there. You know, when they needed a warm smile or a warm hug, you was there. You know, you didn't question what they needed. You didn't question why they were going through something. You just showed the love of Christ. They're going to remember that before they know that you was driving that Tesla and that $3 million mansion. They're not thinking about that, because you can lose that Tesla in an accident. You can lose that mansion in a fire. But you don't lose your influence and over people that you know, when you have the love of God and you use it for His good and His benefit and His glory. So when we also think about the purpose in waiting, what waiting does, it also, it builds anticipation. Just think about it. What do children get so excited about, like Christmas and birthdays? You know, because the wait produced an anticipation. We tend to appreciate the things the longer we have to wait for them. And that's the truth. I know when I got my first place, I loved it. It was mine. I could do what I wanted to do. If a dish broke, it was my fault. But I could have the peace and quiet. I can cook what I wanted, where I wanted, how I wanted it. I'm an introvert, so I don't do too much partying and out, whatever. But it was mine. And I appreciated it. So I was more apt to take care of it. Because it took me a time to get it. You know, like I said, about 18 months ago, I was, you know, going through this real difficult season. And, you know, I've had to live in places that I don't feel are just the safest, you know. But what's happening during this time is that, you know, God has shown me that, yes, I'm going to have my own home. I'm going to be able to have those things. But it's taken Him to show me that I need to be, you know, diligent in the things about Him, because I've had all those things. I've had homes and cars and I've traveled the world, but I forgot who got me to that point. And a lot of those things I went outside of Him and did on my own how I wanted to do them. So in that essence, He had to literally strip these things from me so that I can then understand who He was and whose I was and who was in control. And that is the number one thing, you know. And I know when that day comes, when He fully begins to show me and grant everything He's promised me, I know that's going to be an awesome day. But now I'm like a little kid in a candy store, you know, just waiting for when I can take the wrapper off that. You know, I see the nice shiny wrapper and I just want to be able to unwrap it and take it off. But I know that's coming. So that anticipation is building, you know, because you have to wait. You tend to cherish, you know, and take care of it more than others may. You know, people tend to treasure the things that they had to wait for and they had to emotionally, spiritually, and physically invest in. When you're building the anticipation, you're putting all of these things into what He's giving you, what He's doing for you. And because you have what they call blood, sweat, and tears, you are not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize you keeping that blessing. Whether it's the house or the car or the ministry, the TV show, the radio show, the books, whatever you've been asking Him for and He's preparing you for and you're, you know, working towards, because you've had to put the kind of work you've had to put into it, you appreciate it more. You cherish it more. You take care of it. You are grateful for it. You are thanking Him consistently because He has honored His word and you're honoring your word and maintaining it for Him and for His glory. And what I also say is, in maintaining it, that means, it doesn't mean you get it and whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to give you a ride. I can't help you. I've arrived and I don't care to help anyone else. That is not what He's saying. You know, you appreciate, you love it, you hold it. You take care of it so much more. You know, when you have to wait for it and put blood, sweat, and tears into it. No. Also, another purpose in waiting is that it transforms our character. You know, waiting is God's way of smoothing off and refining the rough edges in our lives. You know, most of us know the story of Moses delivering the Israelites from Egypt. You know, it's a great story of God doing great miracles. You know, however, you know, you listen to the fact that Moses had to wait in the desert for 40 years before God came to him. 40 years. I need you to let that sink in. He waited in the desert for 40 years before God came to get him to lead this. You know, God used this time of waiting to transform his character. You know, because if you think about it, when you think about Moses as a young man, you know, he was very brash and impatient. You know, he was so, you know, brash, and he was so rash with his temper, he killed the man and he hit the body. You know, and when it was made public, he was exiled to the desert. He ran and he was exiled to the desert. You know, when he was given that second chance, he opted to do it God's way and in God's time. How many times have we completely gone against what God has told us we needed to do, or we became impatient, or we acted brashly or harshly and too quickly, and we caused great trauma? We may not have physically killed somebody, but we've killed somebody with our words, our thoughts, our actions, and our deeds. We've been hurtful to someone. We have stunted their walk in Christ. Or sometimes we've just killed it altogether. And when it's placed in public for the world to see, you know, instead of owning up to it, we decide that we're going to ignore it, we're going to deny it, we're going to victimize the victim again. And then judgment is handed down and we are exiled away, you know, whether, you know, we have to go to another church, or you lose your job, or you lose your home. And you are like, okay, that's your desert. But then you're given a second chance. Now, you have this choice in this second chance. You can do it God's way, or you can try it again your way. There's only but so many times he's going to allow you to continually disrespect and continually do it the way you want to do it. You know, you will eventually get to do it his way. I've adopted a saying that my grandmother used to say when I was younger. She used to say, you're going to have to do it. You can do it the easy way or the hard way, but both of them are going to be my way. And I didn't understand that. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? The easy way or the hard way, and both are going to be your way. Whatever. And she nicely explained it to me, because I was the hard-headed one. She said, the easy way is to do what I tell you the first time. All is happy in the world, and we don't have to worry about anything. The hard way is you get your behind beat, and you still have to do what I tell you to do. Either way, I get what I want out of the situation. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to do this the easy way or the hard way? I'm like, oh man, like, I don't want to be on punishment. I don't want to get a whipping. And my grandmother didn't whip me often. It was one way to help chastise me because punishment didn't work for me. I wasn't a television watcher. I didn't like to go outside. So me being grounded and being in the house, that's just the life of an introvert. Like, I could just read books all day. I was good. You take my books, I may, I'll be devastated, but I was fine. So I started to think, so what I would do is when she would tell me to do something, I would just go ahead and do it. Instead of going back and forth, instead of going through the drama, I just went ahead and did it. And that's the same thing with God. You can either do what he tells you to do the first time, or you can keep going through this battle back and forth, deciding to do what you want to do. And then what happens is that you're reprimanded, you're made to wait even longer, you have to backtrack and start it all over. But he's still going to get the glory. He's still going to get his way. And he is going to be harder on you. And it's not because he's trying to be over the top or, just to try to take things from you. What he's doing is because you still have to understand something, that you are purposed to do a specific thing. And only you can work in that process or work in that purpose. So that is the thing for it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to do it the easy way or the hard way? So when you think about Moses did it the hard way. He, first of all, first go round, he did it the way he wanted to do it, when he wanted to do it, how he wanted to do it. And it cost him. So he was reprimanded. He had to restart, and he was exiled. He had to deal with the punishment. So when he decided to get the chance to redo it over, he decided he was going to do it God's way and in God's time. And at the end of the day, Israel was delivered from slavery, and Moses became a great leader. Waiting transformed the life of Moses as it does the same for you and I. Also, when you think about the purpose in waiting, what it does do is it builds intimacy and dependency on God. The reason, we're able to read about, such great men and women of the Bible is because they all had one thing in common. If you think about it, they were people who learned their success in life was directly proportionate to their intimacy and dependency on God. A relationship with God is not a get rich quick scheme. And a lot of the times, if not all of the times, it's a matter of life and death. Waiting during the difficult times develops your relationship with God. Some of the most intimate relationships we have in our lives are because, a friend stood in the trenches with us during the heat of battle. And I know I have a good number of them that have had my back and who has been praying for me when I didn't have the strength to pray for myself. And those are the ones that have been there for me in the trenches. And those are great relationships, Maybe when you think about when you have friends and relationships and intimacy, what is that person bringing to your life? Is it accountability? Are they going to call you out on your mess? Proverbs 18:24 It says, they are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. Meaning, you can have somebody who claims they're your friend, which I claim they're associates, who is only in it for what they can get out of it. But then you have those who is not going to let you fail because they see the purpose that God has in you, and they see their how they can help get you to that purpose, and they're not going to let you fail, and they're not going to let you just sit on the wayside and say, I'm not going to do it. They're not going to have it. You know, because when you read these stories, when you read these stories of these great men and women in the Bible, you know, it's because they went through the difficulties of life with God. And in the end, they enjoyed the process with God and the promise of God. You know, I'm gonna say that again. You know, they enjoyed the process with God and the promise of God, meaning in that waiting season, in that firing season, in that preparation season, they embraced it. They developed a full-fledged relationship, an intimate relationship that they could speak to him, go to him, talk to him. They knew that he was going to cover every intimate need that they had. And so therefore, they enjoyed that process. They reveled in that process. They was like a little baby that just came out that enjoys their parents' time all the time. Because that parent is loving on them, nurturing them, feeding them, chastising them, grooming them to be the adults they need to be. And in doing so, they got to enjoy the promise of God. You know, God is just as interested in the journey as he is the destination. You know, he is concerned about how you gonna go down this road. He knows that for some of us, we can't just go straight down the road. Some we may have to do a detour. He may have to pad it. He's got to walk before and prepare things. He's got to put you in a holding pattern because he's got to move and shift those some things so that you can walk unhindered and unbothered. You know, if not all the biblical, you know, if he wasn't concerned, you know, they would only include the feel-good parts. If you think about the stories in the Bible, if God was just only concerned with the destination, you would never hear about what it took to get to the destination. You would just hear, you know, it's all rosy and it's beautiful and this is how you serve me. He wanted to show you every aspect of it. So to let you know that you, even though we're down and grimy and we have to do this work, this is what will happen once it's done. You know, once surgery is done, you know, when you think about gold, it goes through that firing process. When people say and use the terminology, we shall come forth as pure gold, there's a reason behind that. Because gold in its natural state is nice, but it can't be used for much because it has a lot of impurities, a lot of things that make it where it's not stable. So therefore, it is put through a firing process. So all the impurities are burned off until you just have pure gold that is now valuable and worth things. So think about this walk as the firing process and your gold. And he is purifying you so that when you are presented to do his will, it is worthy. It's worth something. You know, people is going to see the purification. They're not going to see all of the scraggly elements and the bad stuff that was there because you have been refined in the waiting process. You know, we may not, you know, always understand why we have to wait, but the good news is, if you think about it, he never asked you to wait without him. When he asked you to wait, you were waiting right there with him. He's not giving it to you and saying, okay, I'll be back later. He's not saying, you know, you're going to wait, but I'm going to help Joe Blow down the street, and I'll come back to you when I come back to you. You know, and that's not how he does it. That's definitely not how he does it. You know, when you think about waiting, you know, it's always too, you know, the purpose is taking action at the right time. You know, there's a time to plow, there's a time to sow, there's a time to reap, you know, but they're never done all together at the same time. You know, when I planted my first garden, I didn't get that you have to prepare the land to actually plant. So I was probably about like 15, and I decided that I wanted a vegetable garden, and I went and I got the soil and I got all the seeds. And I remember my grandmother saying, she's like, baby, you're not gonna, she was like, what kind of plants did you get? Like, did you haven't even prepared the ground to, you know, plant. I don't need to do that. I can just plant it and keep going. And I remember I planted everything. I dug up the ground. I just dug it up. I didn't fertilize it, nurture it, or anything. I just dug it up, put the things in, boom, boom, boom. And when it didn't come forth, I was so hurt. You know, because I'm like, well, I did this and I did that. And then, of course, when I planted it, I expected it to be there within a couple of weeks. Like, hey, like, where's my food? And that just wasn't how it's going to work. And so what happened was the next growing season, my grandmother was like, okay, I'm going to show you what we have to do. Before the season ended, we was living in New England at the time. And she said, okay, there's certain vegetables you can't grow here. So she helped, and we researched and we understood what I could grow and could not grow. So from what I could grow, I chose two or three plants. Then she said, okay, now we have to prepare the soil. So we got the patch where we was going to plant, and I dug up and I tilled and we added moisturizer. That was work, you know, and we prepared it to actually plant the seed. Then what happened was, is when it was time to plant, I went ahead and I planted the seeds, and she's like, no, you have to space them apart. You have to do it this way. And I was like, okay, I did it exactly as she told me, because at this point, I didn't want to make the same mistake that I made the first time. Obviously, I learned. I spent all that money and it wasn't fruitful. You know, so I was willing to, this time, have the assistance to do it right. And so then finally, after weeks of just watching it and weeding, she's like, okay, you got to weed it. You got to look at it. You know, you have to do this. You got to water it. You got to keep, sometimes you got to make sure the frost doesn't hit it. And then finally, when I was able to harvest it and I had, you know, my own, you know, little garden, and I was like, oh, wow, look at that. You know, I can now, you know, have my own vegetables. So when you think about waiting on God, it's like God is in the business of growing a spiritual harvest in our lives. But it takes time and our cooperation and doing the right things at the right time. So you can't expect, you can't, you know, prepare. You can't prepare for the, you know, for the harvest, plant the harvest and reap the harvest all at the same time. So you got to take the right action at the right time in the right sequence so that it all works together for his good, you know. And sometimes that can be hard because, again, we want it all at the same time. You know, we want it now. We become microwave society. We want it now. You know, also the purpose in waiting, what will happen is that we learn to be content with God's provision and timing. And that can be challenging, again, because we always want everything that we want when we want it and how we want it. And when, you know, to wait on God means to be content with his patience and patient, because we're clinging to God and resting in his love and his wisdom. You know, it's the most difficult aspect. You know, when you think about it, contentment and patience are difficult because they're contrary to where we're at in our human state. You know, it's just like, you know, we think everything, you know, we think everything should happen right now. And so therefore, we struggle to change. And then two, it can contentment and patience flies directly in the face of our nice little slimy friend who seeks, you know, to pass off that, you know, we don't need God, and that we can find security and satisfaction, you know, outside of him, in our own mindset, in our own thought process, you know. And to wait on him is to cling to him, and that we know that we'll be made perfect in a world that's not, you know. So when you have to be content with God's provision and God's time. You cannot let the enemy make you believe that you alone can execute, quote unquote, what God can do. That you don't need him in handling what you can handle and how you can handle it. Do not fall for that trap, you know, because God is the only one that can truly prepare us for that purpose. You know, content with his provision, content in his timing, trusting him alone. You know, and it means waiting and seeking his counsel. When he says move, you move. When he says stay, you stay. When he says move here, but stay right there, that's what you do. That is what you do. You know, so you think about your waiting season is a bridge to connect you to God's beautiful plan for your life. So remember, there is a purpose in waiting. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode of Moving Past You. I want you to be sure to visit our Facebook group to join the conversation, to access show notes, and to get some fantastic bonus content. You can also to subscribe to the show via Apple, iTunes Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and you can just search for Moving Past You. And I want to leave you with this one thought. Always remember to be kind in your word, in your thought, and in your deed. Be blessed, and I'll speak with you soon.
You know, sometimes in life, situations are going to occur where you may look to the left or the right and you can't find any answers and you can't find anybody to help you. But I'm reminded of the word that says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on. You got to learn how to wait.
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord. I don't mind. Come on, Robin, help me sing.